Let's talk now about social network analysis. As we know, complexity science has a focus on interactions. We look at interactions. And social network analysis is both a research method and a management tool that help us map interactions and give us many indicators of things like cooperation and information flow. Yeah. Most of the time, we produce graphs, mathematical, graphical representations of social networks as such. Sometimes the graphs can visually give us indications of what's actually happened in the social group that you're trying to understand. But most of the time, we need some measures. We have network measures that provide us different indicators of the network structure that we're looking at. But let's talk a little bit about some of the questions you may raise when you conduct a social network analysis in organizational settings. If you think about what happens at the dyad level, here we're talking about pairwise relations. Our main interest is see what happens when pairs of individuals interact with one another. Or when different collectivities interact with one another. The different nodes in our network are usually people. But sometimes we also conduct network analysis of organizations and how different organizations interact with one another. So let's look at a pairwise relation. One question you may raise is, employees whose offices are near each other are more likely to develop friendships than employees whose offices are further apart? Yeah, here we're talking about pairs. We analyze the different pairs we may have in a network and see to what extent the fact of having physical proximity explains or predicts interaction or not. Or if you think about in organizations, let's say your nodes are not people, individuals, but organizations. Is it that organizations with similar organizational culture tend to cooperate more? Is that the attribute, the node attribute, that predicts cooperation? Well, we may also think about what happens at the individual level. Yeah, one question may raise, are employees who are more central in the organization's friendship network less likely to leave for another company? Here, we look at the structural position in individuals, and we try to see if that position predicts some behavior. If you think about collectivities, are firms with more diverse technology partners more likely to introduce innovative products into the market? Yeah, here we look at the structural position of companies, if a certain network position gives some kind of advantage or not. And we may think of the network measures. Here, working not with pairs, not necessarily with individuals, but our analytical focus is what's happening at the network level, at the whole system level. One question you may raise, when a network of employees is characterized by many redundant paths between all pairs of persons, is the network less disrupted by individuals leaving the firm? Are such firms more robust or more resilient? This is another question you may ask. Or you may have a similar question focusing on companies, on the structural web of interactions across different social groups. Sometimes we look at pairwise relations, what you call dyad level. Sometimes we look at individual level, and sometimes we look at the full network level. Three different analytical foci, and all of them are absolutely right, and you have interesting network analysis focusing on all three levels. These are some examples you may raise when you conduct a network analysis. I'm sure there are way more, and I'm actually looking forward to hear the questions you will be developing as you deepen your understanding of complex systems. Data collection. Yeah, Now we're starting to be a little bit more concrete of how we actually conduct a network analysis. Well, we need to gather data. We need network data. Network data can come from many sources. Sometimes you can observe people, sometimes you can ask people, sometimes you have electronic databases of interactions, sometimes you have paper records. Most of the time, most social network analysis, especially in the case of organizations, is conducted through questionnaires, which raise questions about interactions. Who do you get advice from? Who do you talk with in crisis situations? Who do you have lunch with? If you're in a school setting, who do your homework with? Even if you do raise the same questions to the same individuals, different questions will give you different network structures. Most of the time, we're actually conducting questionnaires, sometimes observations. When you conduct a network analysis, we usually raise questions about interactions, who do you interact with, but we sometimes also look at actor attributes. Yeah, attitudes, ideas, perceptions, individual characteristics, and then why? What can you do with that? We conduct some what we call homophily tests. What's homophily? Homophily is our human tendency to interact with people with whom we share some characteristic or some personal attributes. And we can test for that. What kind of characteristic explains or predicts interaction in a certain group? People with the same background, people with the same religion, supporters of the same football team, you name it. You can always test different attributes and see, yeah, what actually explains or predicts interaction in a certain social group. That's what we call homophily or homophily test. And we can also identify the webs of influence. Very often, behavior can be explained by the position of some individuals in some web of interactions. And that's one of the important factors that we have to take into account when you try to understand behavior. Yeah, another important question, and that's a difficult question. How do we set the boundaries of a network? And that can be pretty difficult. Very often, the boundaries of an emergent network do not correspond to the formal boundaries of an organization. Setting boundaries can be pretty difficult. And if you're asking individuals, are you asking the friends of friends, and what's the moment that you stop when you have enough data? It's difficult to have a one-size-fits-all answer to these questions. It's very related to the question, to research question you're trying to answer. But sometimes it's difficult to actually define the boundaries of your social network. Sometimes you have like snowball techniques. You ask A, hey, who do you get advice from? A will talk about B and C, and then you raise the questions to B and C, and then they talk to you about D, E, and F. That is very useful if you have a small network where you actually have the time to maybe talk with the different nodes. But most of the time, what you're going to do is actually to spread questionnaires with questions about interactions and maybe some attributes that you may want to research further. We have a very important question here, which is related to ethics. Every research method has its ethical implications, ethical dilemmas that we have to be aware of. When it comes to social network analysis, anonymity can be pretty difficult when you're collecting data. And very often, you get information about people who may not have originally agreed to participate in our study. Yeah, and then the question, what are you going to do with this information? can you use it or not? Again, it's difficult to give a one-size-fits-all answer to this question. The bottom line answer here is that you never release data that can potentially harm your participants. So you have to think a lot about the relevance of this information to the research question you're trying to answer, and how revealing this information can be, even if you anonymize the data when you actually produce and report your results. What is acceptable to ask? Yeah, we ask questions about personal attributes, but you may also think, okay, what's actually acceptable to ask? What's the kind of question that we actually acceptable to ask? Network data can be sometimes very revealing at the personal level. Even if you anonymize the data, sometimes by only looking at a certain structure, people can actually identify and know who your nodes are. Again, you have to think a lot first about your research question. What such information you actually need to answer a research question? Second, how revealing your data is, and what can actually be harmful at the personal level. When you actually conduct a social network analysis, you get some advice from NSD in actually how to deal with this kind of data. But again, it's very likely that you may encounter some ethical questions that you may have to address when you conduct a network analysis. There is an increasing interest in social network analysis in the study of organizations. I have shared some possible research questions with you, but I'm sure there are many other questions that we may still raise when you think about webs of interactions in organizations. Again, I'll be more than looking forward to hear your own questions. Thank you.